Palmetto Mornings on WRHI.
And good Friday morning to you. It's 7:47, 73 degrees right here on Palmetto Mornings, your home for news, talk, and sports. I'm Lucas McFadden.
And I'm Patty Mercer. Glad to have you with us this morning.
Senator Wes Clymer joins us for our weekly, monthly visit where we check in with our lawmakers to see what's going on here at home as well as statewide. And Senator Clymer, you certainly have made the news of late regarding a situation that has happened at Winthrop University. And this was a situation that you felt very passionate about, that you wrote a letter, and I'll kind of let you explain some of the backstory from there and take us forward.
Yes, so a professor at Winthrop, now retired professor, Dr. Mark Herring, wrote an article in a journal for college librarians, essentially.
Yeah.
And he talked about his personal experience with Wuhan in China. I think his daughter had spent some time there and so on and so forth. And he used the word Wuhan virus. And the provost at the university then took offense to that, stripped his work from the university's sort of, you know, collection of all the faculty members' writings.
Their archives.
And they, you know, just outright condemned him. And, you know, that indicates to me a pretty stifling level of intolerance for speech on really any kind of subject. I mean, either, you know, in the provost's world, I guess you toe precisely to her line of thinking, or you better keep your mouth shut.
And a provost is an academic.
Yes, sort of the person in charge of the academic program at the university.
Okay, so she.
She's like the boss of all the professors.
Okay, so she took exception to his choice of description.
Yeah.
With Wuhan virus. Yeah. And he wrote this when? Like early?
Yeah, some time ago.
Okay.
Some time ago. And, when you know, I think. I'll make another, you know, point on this that I didn't really raise in the letter. But look, if we can't have a conversation about the role that, you know, the way we handle food, the way we do hygiene around food, the way we interact with animals, if we can't have a conversation about that in the context of communicable disease, right, if that's the position of the provost, that is willful ignorance that is going to result in the death of millions of human beings. And because these are things that matter to the discussion and prevention of communicable disease. I mean, we know that. Wash your hands after you handle chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
So why can't we talk about the way people are handling bats in another part of the world? Right. I mean, so just the fact that that provokes such a, you know, stunning reaction from the provost tells me that she is more concerned with maintaining some sort of, you know, company line on acceptable speech than she is on honest speech designed to help inform and educate. And I was looking at this the other day. I want to pull it back up on my phone because I don't speak Latin like nobody else does. But I mean, this is you know Winthrop's motto is Veritas cum Libertate, truth with liberty. I think they got it right when they decided on their motto, and they need to live up to their motto now.
Mm-hmm.
And that demands free and fair debate with a variety of opinions and embrace of the notion that, I mean, the entirety of the post-Enlightenment human existence is that we throw a bunch of ideas on the table, we debate the ideas, and from that debate, from that refining of ideas, we arrive closer to capital T truth.
Absolutely.
And if that can't happen at a university, where can it happen?
Mm-hmm.
And I know this, you know, this kind of stuff happens all over the country. Mm-hmm. But when it happens in our backyard, we have to stand up and take action on it.
Exactly. Now, I know, Dr. Herring, that article was also censored, though, by other publications in his line of work. Just asking here for Winthrop for an apology, is that what you would like to see happen? What can Winthrop do to, I guess, what can they say to Dr. Herring that would be appropriate in your eyes? And then moving forward, what can Winthrop do to continue to have a balanced conversation?
Well, they really owe him an apology.
Okay,
and so that ought to happen just on a human to human level. You know, he kind of got kicked on the shins after a pretty good 21-year career at Winthrop. The other thing is, I think it's important for the board the Board of Trustees to set the tone. I think the Board of Trustees needs to make a pretty compelling statement that lets members of the faculty understand that this is a place that intends to live up to its motto.
I agree with you. Mm-hmm. I think this opens up the discussion to ask those questions. How far have we veered off the road?
Right.
Because what the motto states is clearly not being exercised in this example.
Right.
Are there others?
Mm-hmm. Oh, certainly there are. Yeah, I mean, you know, you like when we went after Commerce, the Commerce Department a couple months ago, lots of people from the Commerce Department kind of came out and said, hey, let me tell you what's really going on. And the same thing has happened here,
mm-hmm.
right? You
mm-hmm.
know, this has been reported, you know, about the letter, and I've gotten a lot of, you know, texts, phone calls, emails from folks at Winthrop who talk about the climate of fear. Mm. They're afraid to express a certain viewpoint for fear of retribution.
Well, we see what happens nationally if you disagree with the loudest voice.
Yeah.
If you disagree, we see what happens. But college is a time where you figure life out and you figure everything out.
Right.
I mean, you have a balance of conversations and you sit down and talk and, you know, you might not understand it or like it, but you walk away from the conversation more wise and just
owning your own opinion.
More informed. Yeah, there you go.
I mean, we were talking.
And standing up for what you believe in.
Yeah. Well, we've talked to several professors and we've had conversations about professors, and their students never really knew where they were in a political realm.
Right. How they voted.
Because the information was presented. The critical thinking was, the table was set, but it was not for a professor to decide. It was up to that person to take that information and learn from it and apply it to their experiences and go forward. And that doesn't mean that it's all one-sided. It means that it is doing what it's supposed to be doing, which is helping shape our country in a better direction with all ideas that can be possibly shared in an effort to get to the best.
Right. Well, and so to that point, talking about a good teacher who does that kind of thing, Winthrop's calling card is as a university that brings a lot of teachers to the profession, right? And so do we want, you know, the next generation of teachers to grow up in a climate where a particular ideology is imposed upon them through censorship? I mean, is that really what we're looking for?
Mm-hmm.
I'd say, you know, the answer is no. And I think what we want instead is the kind of scholarship that you talked about a minute ago where, you know, students don't get an opinion because it was imposed upon them through censorship. They arrive at an opinion through careful study and critical thinking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that is a much more reasonable and, frankly, better way to go about.
That's what we're paying for. Yeah,
right, exactly.
Yeah.
We didn't do all this hard work as parents to try to set our kids up on a certain successful path and then see, you know, something else changed. And then we become the bad guys trying to defend what, you know, is a belief system. We put you there so that you can learn more and go further than we did on this road, not to just go a different direction and run parallel to us.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah.
So yeah, I think this is opening up a bigger discussion to have. I thought what was interesting too is the fact that Winthrop hosted, when we had the DNC, Democratic Convention, mm-hmm. in Charlotte,
yeah.
and we did the broadcast right on Winthrop's campus.
Well, MSNBC did hold a Democratic event there on campus, so they brought the, you know, national media came on campus.
Yes, it was a big deal. They did a really nice job. We were so close to having the National Convention, and it doesn't seem like there was the same pre-planning in place to do the same thing. I wonder. I've heard from different sources that, there wasn't the same buzz and excitement about it being the Republican Party as it was when it was
Democrats.
Which
is probably true. In fairness, it's probably true on any campus. And back in 2016, I will say to Winthrop's credit, when the Republicans had 1,800 you know, potential, you know, nominees running around the state, Winthrop did accommodate, I think, all of them, you know, at one point or another.
And that's what we like to see.
That's what, I mean, that is serving a really high and noble public purpose,
yeah.
right, to facilitate debate, mm-hmm. to facilitate arriving at an opinion through reason and through critical thinking, mm-hmm. as opposed to having an opinion imposed on you through censorship, which right. is what we just saw in this episode.
Wow.
Well, we'll see what happens when the board takes it up or at least addresses it or looks into it, I think, later this month. We're speaking with Senator Wes Clymer here in York County about many things. Looks latest on COVID-19 here in the Palmetto State. And again, the debate continues about opening school
yeah.
or doing it virtually. And then the governor is leading that charge. And, you know, many are supportive of him, many are not.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the schools in this area have had their plans approved by the mm-hmm. state superintendent. And as far as I know, my children are going to be in elementary school 2 days a week and doing virtual 3 days a week, right? I mean, kind of is what it is. And we're making the best of nobody wants to be in this situation. There is not a perfect answer. If there were a perfect answer, everybody would do it. Right. Mm-hmm. So we're all pulling together and do the best we can. And I really am grateful for the extraordinary effort that I know my children's teachers are going to, and teachers all over this area are doing the best they can with really trying circumstances to make sure that their kids get a good education. And look, eventually we're going to be past this. Eventually, we will be talking about COVID in the past tense. I mean, if that happened yesterday, that'd be fine with me.
yeah.
But until then, we got to make do the best mm-hmm. we can. And there will look, one of the genius of this country is the fact that we have 50 different laboratories of democracy.
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
And we're going to know who did it right and who didn't.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
And that can be the guide for, God forbid, the next time this happens.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Very true.
Mm-hmm. But until then, we have local leadership making decisions for local communities, and that local leadership is responsible for the taxpayers and the voters in the local communities. We're devolving power to the lowest level possible, closest to the people, and that's the way it ought to be done, because that's what allows for effective experimentation. And so, you know, my view is we ought to let the local leaders make local decisions for local communities and hope they get it right.
Right, right, right.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, my kids are in this. I really hope we're doing the best we can. You know?
Absolutely. And you know, leadership, you're looking at the balance of a lot of things, from the economy,
yeah.
from the physical health, from just doing what we can preventative to keep it where it needs to be, so that it eventually just says, bye-bye, I'm done, I'm bored, I'm out of here. That's what I want COVID to do. But it's also a very interesting observation in terms of approaching how to handle, rather than doing one big federal thing versus letting local government do
yeah.
their own backyard, you know.
You said it best, an experiment, 50 Petri dishes.
Yes,
we'll
we do.
See what the answer is.
Yep.
Senator Every Wes day. Clymer, as always, thank you so much
hey,
for your time.
Good to see you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's top of the hour, 8 o'clock here on Palmetto Mornings. When
everybody can... WRHI Rock Hill. Good Pharmacy, Rock Hill's hometown pharmacy for over 50 years. Camden Avenue at Ebenezer Road.
He can't take TikTok off phones. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. But President Trump is attempting a ban on the popular video app as Microsoft tries to buy TikTok. Fox's John Decker live in Washington.
President Trump, citing national security concerns, signing an executive order that would ban the Chinese social media app TikTok from doing business with U.S. firms. The administration claiming the app could allow China to spy on U.S. government employees and contractors and be used for disinformation campaigns that benefit the Chinese government. The Trump administration has also targeted WeChat, the popular Chinese messaging app, with a similar ban. TikTok denies the claims and threatened legal action against the executive order. The bans on TikTok and WeChat are set to take effect in 45 days. Dave?
John, the president suggested he may take action to provide corona economic stimulus with no deal yet in Congress and the House off next week.
The president is not going to do a deal that has a massive amount of money to bail out state and locals.
Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin, Democrats say it's not a bailout. It helps save jobs for first responders and many more.
So I said, would you meet us in the middle? And they said, no, it has to mostly be their way because the president wants it that way.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, the two